ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, chapter entitled Prahlad Maharaj, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu. This is the chapter summary here. I'll quickly read and then we'll chant the verse. Prahlad Maharaj did not carry out the orders of his teachers, for he was always engaged in worshipping Lord Vishnu. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj even by having a snake bite him and by putting him under the feet of elephants, yet he was unsuccessful. Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master Sukracharya had two sons named Sanda and Amarka, to whom Prahlad Maharaj was entrusted for education. Although the teachers tried to educate the boy Prahlad in politics, economics, and other material activities, he did not care for their instructions. Instead, he continued to be a pure devotee. Prahlad Maharaj never liked the idea of discriminating between one's friends and enemies, and because he was spiritually inclined, he was equal toward everyone. Once upon a time, Hiranyakashipu inquired from his son what the best thing was that he had learned from his teachers. Prahlad Maharaj replied that a man engrossed in the material consciousness of duality, thinking this is mine and that belongs to my enemy, should give up his householder life and go to the forest to worship the Supreme Lord. When Hiranyakashipu heard from his son about devotional service, he decided that this small boy had been polluted by some friend in school. Thus he advised the teachers to take care of the boy so that he would not become a Krishna conscious devotee. However, when the teachers inquired from Prahlad Maharaj why he was going against their teachings, Prahlad Maharaj taught the teachers that the mentality of ownership is false and that he was therefore trying to become an unalloyed devotee of Lord Vishnu. The teachers, being very angry at this answer, chastised and threatened the boy with many fearful conditions. They taught him to the best of their ability and then brought him before his father. Hiranyakashipu affectionately took his son Prahlad on his lap and then inquired from him what the best thing was that he had learned from his teachers. As usual, Prahlad Maharaj began praising the nine processes of devotional service, such as Sravanam and Kirtanam. Thus the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, being extremely angry, chastised the teachers, Sanda and Amarka, for having wrongly trained Prahlad Maharaj. The so-called teachers informed the king that Prahlad Maharaj was automatically a devotee and did not listen to their instructions. When they proved themselves innocent, Hiranyakashipu inquired from Prahlad where he had learned Vishnu Bhakti. Prahlad Maharaj replied that those who are attached to family life do not develop Krishna consciousness either personally or collectively. Instead, they suffer repeated birth and death in this material world and continue simply chewing the chewed. Prahlad explained that the duty of every man is to take shelter of a pure devotee and thus become eligible to understand Krishna consciousness. Enraged at this answer, Hiranyakashipu threw Prahlad Maharaj from his lap. Since Prahlad was so treacherous that he had become a devotee of Vishnu, who had killed his uncle Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu asked his assistants to kill him. The assistants of Hiranyakashipu struck Prahlad with sharp weapons, threw him under the feet of elephants, subjected him to hellish conditions, threw him from the peak of mountain and tried to kill him in thousands of other ways, but they were unsuccessful. Hiranyakashipu therefore became increasingly afraid of his son Prahlad Maharaj and arrested him. The sons of Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master Sukracharya began teaching Prahlad in their own way, but Prahlad Maharaj did not accept their instructions. While the teachers were absent from the classroom, Prahlad Maharaj began to preach Krishna consciousness in the school. And by his instructions, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became devotees like him. We will chant this verse on the board now. This is text 1. Canto 7, chapter 5, text 1. Sri Narada Uvacha Paurohityaya Bhagavan Vritha Kavya Khila Surai Sanda Marko Sutau Tasya Daitya Raja Grihantike. Please chant for me. Matajis, please. Sri Narada Vacha. The great saint Narada said, Paurohityaya, to work as priest, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Vritha, chosen, Kavya, Sukracharya, Kila, indeed, Asurai, by the demons. Sanda Amarkau, Sanda Namarka. Sutau, sons. Tasya, of him. Daitya Raja, of the king of the demons. Of the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu. Griha Antike, near the residence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The great saint Narada Muni said, the demons headed by Hiranyakashipu accepted Sukracharya as their priest for ritualistic ceremonies. Shukracharya's two sons, Sanda and Amarka, lived near Hiranyakashipu's palace. Purport. The beginning of life story of Prahlad is recounted as follows. Shukracharya became the priest of the atheists, especially Hiranyakashipu, and thus his two sons, Sanda and Amarka, resided near Hiranyakashipu's residence. Shukracharya should not have become the priest of Hiranyakashipu because Hiranyakashipu and his followers were all atheists. A Brahmana should become the priest of a person interested in the advancement of spiritual culture. The very name Shukracharya, however, indicates a person interested in obtaining benefits for his sons and descendants, regardless of how the money comes. A real Brahmana would not become a priest for atheistic men. Om Ajnanatim Randasi Gananjana Salakaya Saksurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Budhle Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Budhle Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesha Shunivadi Paschatya Destarine. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nice to have Acharya Prabhu home. Happy birthday. And also Kosala Prabhu is here. We would like to welcome him to the Bhagavatam class. So, as usual, Prabhupada didn't leave any stones unturned in this chapter summary and the purport. Like Prahlad Maharaj said, puna puna charvita charvananam, the material world, everything is basically going on again and again, same things. So if we look at the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj, Sanda and Amarka, and the teachers that we studied under, it's not much different. Because they basically instill in you that, you know, material success is the perfection of life. And the more crooked you are, the more cunning you are, you know, the more, you know, diplomatic you are, you're considered like a great man these days. But we can see from Prahlad Maharaj's example that whatever we learn all the way from the womb, it's not true that, you know, the child becomes conscious after birth or something like that, the scientists say. But we hear from Bhagavatam that Prahlad became Krishna conscious and accepted his spiritual master even within his womb. Prabhupada says there's no material impediments for one to become perfect spiritually. If you look at the case of Prahlad Maharaj, he had all the excuses, like, you know, he was not even born, he was just a fetus in the womb of his mother, but he's becoming Krishna conscious. What's our excuse? And whatever, you know, we learn all the way from the womb, the scientists, actually my spiritual master Devamrita Maharaj, he actually showed one documentary about the baby in the womb. And it's mentioned that the child actually picks up his accent, the way he's going to speak when he's born, when he's in the womb of his mother. He's just listening to the mother and father speak and he's picking up his accent even before he was born, the child is born. And whatever the early days in our life, like whether we're like 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year, 4 years, 5 years, whatever we are learning, it's going to stay with us all the way till the grave. Like it's said, a child is like a wet cement. Whatever we put on it, the impression is going to stay there forever. So Bhagavatam is showing through the example of Prahlad Maharaj how he heard the right things from the right person. And from birth, he was completely attached to the right things, namely Krishna consciousness. And he was detached from everything else. And, you know, the example is given that, you know, if we are attached and as long as we are think that there is some happiness in this material world, we cannot spread Krishna consciousness enthusiastically. As long as we are not convinced that there is no happiness here and we think there is some happiness, we will actually feel sorry for the people that are going to join us. We think, I'm already going through so many difficulties, why this, you know, poor person who is enjoying so much should join me also. So, but Prahlad Maharaj was completely convinced that there is no happiness in this material world and the real happiness is serving Vishnu. Therefore, he is able to fearlessly preach to even his demoniac father, even the demigods were afraid of. And Prahlad Maharaj says, through his conviction and realization, that the happiness, the material happiness is something we only hear about. Nobody has actually experienced it. Everybody is talking about happiness and everybody is hearing about happiness, but nobody is actually experiencing it. It's only happiness that's heard of. And he also says that the real happiness, sukham aindrikam daitya, dehe yogena dehina. He says real happiness is beyond the sense perception, beyond the body and the senses. And Prabhupada gave this beautiful example of the sweet rice mixed with sand. It's like on a hot day, if you're feeling like fatigued and exhausted, and somebody gives you some sweet rice, but then every mouthful you're finding some finely grounded sand, you're like really frustrating. The taste is so good, but you can't enjoy it. So similarly, Prahlad Maharaj is saying in this verse that, you know, it's amazing to see how the material world operates. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I've previously heard all these things from my spiritual master Narada Muni, but now I'm practically experiencing, I'm practically seeing how this material deluding energy actually works. It's like we all experience this sometimes. We hear something from Prabhupada or devotees and, you know, we kind of don't argue but we listen, but then we're not completely convinced. But then material energy smashes us. Then we get this realization, oh my God, you know, devotees are always right. Prabhupada is always right. Prahlad Maharaj is saying similar thing that, you know, whatever I heard from my spiritual master, he didn't doubt it, but he's seeing in action how this material energy works, how you consider one person to be friend, another person to be enemy, and trying to find happiness and divide and conquer and all these things. So Prahlad Maharaj is amazed. So in this material world, everybody is in darkness. Like we say this prayer before we speak, Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilita Mena Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha. We are all born in darkness, but the spiritual master is opening our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So every one of us in this material world, we are actually born in darkness. Like Prabhupada would often say, everybody is crazy. What is the definition of a crazy person? A crazy person means like somebody, they think they are somebody, but they're not. It's like I went to school with this girl, and very nice, intelligent girl, but then she started taking so much drugs, and all of a sudden her realization was she's a bird. And we were all looking at her like, what do you mean you're a bird? And she was looking at us like, you guys don't have any realization in life. And her dream was to go up on top of a building and try to fly down. So, you know, this is craziness. Means you're identifying yourself with something we have nothing to do with. Like this, while you're driving, they have this term DUI. Driving under influence. You get a big ticket or you get your license taken away because you are driving under some drugs or intoxication. Similarly, in the material world, everybody is actually driving under the material energy. And we come up with so many crazy conclusions about who we are, what's the goal of life, and we have it all figured out. It's like, especially while you're spreading Krishna consciousness, is very educational. People never give you time to listen what you have to say. It's even before you open your mouth, their head is spinning about how they're going to counteract what you're saying. And they know everything about spirituality, even though they never read any books on Bhagavad Gita. And we're living Bhagavad Gita, you know, for past so many years, but they won't listen to us. So this is how the material energy works. We are so egoistic, we are so proud that we won't listen to anything. And we have it all worked out, how I'm going to be happy in life and what's the perfection of life and what's the conclusion of life, how the universe works, everything, we have it all figured out. And after coming to this crazy conclusion, we pretty much waste our lives. It's like one great personality was telling us how, before he met Prabhupada, one of his hobbies was to sleep as much as possible. And even kept a diary, like a record of to see how much he could sleep. And he would regularly go through it and try to increase it and like this. And, you know, everybody does something like this because we don't know what's going on, what's the point of life. Like Prabhupada tells the story, used to see in Calcutta, this peon, he would go out of office to deliver something to other offices. And he would do a little work and then he would go to the park and he would just take rest all day. And then he'd come home in the evening before the office closed as if he was working all day very hard, you know. So Prabhupada said, this is a symptom of Kali Yuga, that you think if you take a lot of food, karmis don't eat prasad, so you can say like a lot of food, fill your belly and you take rest as much as possible, then we consider our lives perfect, successful, we are like happy beings. The less you work, you know, the less you have to listen to somebody, the less, you know, you have to pay bills, you consider your life successful. And the whole world is going on under this conception, whether it's individually, collectively, whether we see movies or when we listen to music or when politicians are giving speeches. Under the influence of material energy, everybody is talking so much nonsense and doing so much nonsense and throwing away their valuable, precious lives. Like the saying, you know, there's a saying that when I associate with you, I'm giving you the most precious chunk of my life, namely my time, and don't make me regret it. In other words, when we're giving time to somebody, it's like a very valuable thing. We cannot buy it back, so if the other person doesn't value that, then they waste it. So under the influence of material energy, like Prahlad Maharaj is saying, like Prabhupada would say, we basically become asses. Like one of my god brothers used to say, he used to say, when you assume, you're making ass out of you and me. Assume. As you, me. So this is the position in Kali Yuga, that there is nothing going for us, but we are so proud, we are so puffed up, and we think we have, we are very special. It's like recently when I went to India, I visited one of my school friends, she's like a very wealthy person, and she gave me a driver to go around the temples and, you know, see cities and doctors and like this. And I was riding with this driver. And this driver was like, my God, he's so, just like an ass, but he's so proud. Because especially in India, we feel sorry for the drivers. It's a very difficult job to be stuck in traffic and there's no rules. It's hot and it's not considered like a very respectable, cool job, but he was so proud. He said, He asked me, where are you from? I said, I live in America. Then immediately he wanted to show about himself. He said, sir, don't think I'm boasting about myself, but let me introduce you. I've been doing this for 35 years. And I'm not just an ordinary driver. I've driven foreign cars. I've driven cars wearing suits and ties. I've driven all the major cars in India. And I've driven cars for like big industrialists. Even today, if I show up in their office, this big industrialist, even if they're busy, they'll take their time to offer me a coffee. Then you can understand my position. I'm such a special. And I'm trying to be polite. I don't think like people listen to him like this or whatever. He wouldn't stop. So I was looking at my friend like, can you stop this guy? It's just getting too much. So I was realizing how, you know, we are so much into ourselves, even if we have nothing going. We just like want to talk about ourselves and we're so proud of ourselves. And we waste our valuable human form of life in this way. But the only hope is that if somebody receives the seed of devotional service from contacting a devotee, then their whole life can actually change. Like Srila Prabhupada said, again and again, finish your business and go home. But even if somebody is not so enthusiastic about spiritual life and they're going to take few more lifetimes, it's still better off than they're stuck in the cycle of birth and death for millions of years. From the point of view of Krishna, from the point of view of eternity, what we are going through, it's just like a moment. All these billions of births we're going through is just like a moment. It's like the joke. One devotee asked Krishna, Krishna, for you, what is millions of years for you, Krishna? And Krishna said, it's just like a moment. And the devotee said, what is like billions and billions of rupees for you, Krishna? I just like few pennies. And the devotee said, can you please give me a penny, Krishna? And Krishna said, just wait a moment. So it's like that. For us, it's like billions and billions of years. But for Krishna's point of view, it's just like a moment. The example is given. We were all in the spiritual world doing so many services for Krishna. And one day we were making a garland, for example. And we were thinking, wow, what a beautiful garland. Only if I can wear this, how nice it would be. Then immediately we are here in the material world, going through millions and millions of cycles of birth and death. Then we come to the realization, my God, what a fool I am. I cannot try to enjoy independent of Krishna. I should serve Krishna. Then again we are back in the spiritual world, finishing off the garland. But it's just like for us, we went through so many births and deaths, but in the spiritual world it's just like a moment. So the example is given that if a house is locked for many, many hundreds of years and it's super dark in there, doesn't mean to light up the house we need sunshine also for hundreds of years. No. Just like a moment of sunshine can light up the house, even though it was in darkness for many, many years. So similarly, Prabhupada's teachings are so potent that just by reading one brochure or just one small book of Prabhupada, our whole existence can change. And we can learn so much about the spiritual world that not even all these great religious leaders of the world know about. Even our bhaktas know more than, you know, any great religious leader out there. So this is the beauty. Prabhupada can give us so many, you know, years of spiritual realization just by reading few pages. It's like this Mataji, Jadu Rani, famous artist, she actually approached Prabhupada and she wanted to draw a painting of the Paramatma. And Prabhupada was explaining and drilling into her how that Krishna is not impersonal. He's not a light or some ethereal, abstract God has a form. Paramatma is a person. And from Paramatma and Krishna comes the effulgence. And Prabhupada gave this beautiful example. Just like when you go in the room and there's a vase of flowers and you feel the fragrance. The fragrance comes from the flower. It's not the other way around. It's not like the fragrance can exist without something. Similarly, Prabhupada explained that the Brahma Jyoti actually emanates from the form of Krishna. And Prabhupada was explaining on and on, and then she wanted to know, so you're talking about this Paramatma, is he sitting or is he standing up? And Prabhupada looked at her and, oh, it takes like, you know, tens and thousands of years of meditation to find this out. You think you can just find out so easily? She wanted to have Paramatma realization. And she was confused and she was leaving, and Prabhupada said, he's standing. So Prabhupada gave her the Paramatma realization, which usually takes a very long time, even for advanced yogis to understand. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, and Krishna says himself, Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. That even a little progress on this path can save one from the most dangerous type of fear. The most dangerous type of fear for a living entity is to lose this human form and become again lower species. But Krishna promises, Prabhupada promises so many times, even if somebody touches my book, takes a little prasadam, gives a little donation, does some kind of appreciation, then that person's life will never be the same again. It will never be the same again. Because they have somehow or other contacted Krishna and they'll just get better and better and better. It's like this lady on Saturday Harinam in Hollywood. She was like so enthusiastic. She looked like an Asian, like Filipino. She had like three boys. She was so enthusiastic and curious, I thought she's probably a Christian. You know, sometimes Christians come up to you like they're so interested and then they take your time and then they tell you about Jesus. But to my surprise, she was asking so many questions. She's like, what are you guys doing? I said, you know, this is the most powerful form of prayer. We're all coming together and glorifying the Supreme. And this process is so beautiful. Even somebody listens without any understanding, they get elevated. Even the pigeons and the homeless and the trees, everybody benefit. You know, this is the solution for all the craziness in the world. She's like, wow, that's amazing. She said, where can I get one of these books? She was pointing to, I had like 3-4 books. And then I gave her one each, and then she was looking in my bag. You have any other books? Any other books? She got like about 6 or 7 books. And then I was curious. I said, you know, you like reading, or why you're so enthusiastic about these books, you know? Because most of the time we get rejection. So when somebody asks so many books, even it shocks me. And she said, you know, I have 3 boys and I'm responsible for them. And I'm convinced that spiritual aspect of life is the most important thing in life. But I want to train my boys, I want to direct them in the right direction, but I don't even know what to tell them. They're so hungry for knowledge, they're asking me questions all the time, but I have no idea, I don't know what to tell them. So she said, let me just educate myself first so I can guide them. So she got the books and, you know, she asked which book she should read first, and I got my card, and you know, she wanted to come to our programs. So like this, you know, just from that, you know, you can say like a humble start, her life can completely change, you know. She can become a pure devotee and go back to Godhead in this lifetime. So that's what Prahlad Maharaj is showing both. How amazingly entangling and confusing the material energy is. On the other hand, how easy and simple it is to approach Krishna and perfect our lives. And Prabhupada would say that, you know, we are supposed to be, you know, representatives of Krishna and the Guru Parampara and be available for others. Prabhupada said we have to stay in the fire of Sankirtan. Just like if you put an iron in the fire, the iron also becomes red hot like fire. And whatever the iron touches, it burns. Similarly, if we are hot in the fire of Sankirtan, then, you know, there's so many people Krishna can send to us that are, you know, looking for something. And even if they don't, our desire is, you know, we should have hundreds and thousands of people joining and they all become pure devotees, otherwise nothing, it's all or nothing. No, even if we can influence like one person's life in a year or even in our whole lifetime, it's such a big thing. Like Prabhupada says, to grow some weeds, it's insignificant, it's cheap. So many people out there presenting some bogus philosophy and there's no substance. But Krishna consciousness is like planting sandalwood trees. It's going to take hundreds of years, but it's so valuable, it's worth it. So we have to stay on the fire of Sankirtan and pray that we can be used as an instrument of Krishna and Guru's compassion. Then we can share with people this most valuable knowledge. If you see the karmis, like, you know, they have nothing but they're all the time attracting people. They're always taxing the brain, coming up with new projects and new editions of the same thing. But we have so much to offer, like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the spiritual world, there's so much news going on, you can print a newspaper like every moment. It still won't be enough. So is there any questions or discussion, comments on this topic? Harchita Prabhu. I couldn't convert the driver. I was glad he just shut up. I couldn't chant. I couldn't read. It was just like too much time consuming. Of course, he took me to the Vishnu temples, so many of them, and he was doing like parikrama with me and we were chanting. I was chanting at least. He was. So I guess there's some value. Anything else? Thank you, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.